Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on Demand.
Hey everybody, Rod Peterson here. NFL season has kicked off and it's time you join the action. Come on down to Houston with Darren DuPont and me on the inaugural Rod Peterson Show VIP sports trip with Uniglobe Travel. We'll catch the Houston Texans and Denver Broncos at Energy Stadium, plus your choice of NBA games with the Houston Rockets home to the Phoenix Suns and Sacramento Kings. And if you're a real football fan, you'll want to join us for Texas State High School playoff action. All this, plus live Rod Peterson shows with Dupes and me. Are you sold yet? For more info or to book now, visit rodpeterson.com/trip.
Oh yeah, he's back. The crack of the bat, the ping of the crossbar, and the roar of the crowd. We cover everything you want to talk about. It's the Rod Peterson Show.
Hey, good morning, Canada. Canadian sports fans around the world, welcome to the Rod Peterson Show on this Tuesday, September the 24th. Don't mind me, I'm just trying to share the show to various Facebook groups and all my friends. This is The Bunker. We're in Western Canada for another day, show number 80. And it's a big one. I'm Rod Peterson. He's Darren DuPont. If I'm Statler, he's Waldorf. Clark dropped the ball.
Yeah, sorry.
He's just up yelling at me, sorry, from the other side of the room. That's the two old guys from the Muppets. Where were you, Clark?
I'm here.
Big wah, show.
Wah, wah.
Egg face.
Yep.
Global's Taylor Shire on the program today, along with TSN's Darren Dreger. And what else does it say down here on the sign?
Chris Best.
Chris Best.
And your buddy Brandon Urban.
Oh, from the Saskatchewan Rush. So at any point when you have Statler and Waldorf, Clark, please put it up. And you don't even know who they are. That's why I asked him to have a picture of them ready to go.
Yeah. I know.
As we always do on the... Hey!
Okay, I know who they are.
Thanks, Clark.
I know who they are. That is us. That's awesome.
And you've totally redeemed yourself,
oh, yeah.
Clark.
Attaboy.
That didn't take him long.
That is
to
great.
To do that at all. I love it. Now I'm in a better mood. As we always do in the warm-up here in this opening segment, which... is part of the most one of the most viewed segments of this program on a daily basis. We talk about what's going on in sports. We're going to get to last night's Athletes in Action event, which was amazing with yourself, me, Cody Fajardo, Craig Dickinson, Tyson Lisk, Jared Lacoste. It was awesome. At AGT Lounge in the Stadium for Christian Athletes. It was great. Had some one-on-one time with Cody Fajardo. And by the way, I have some thoughts on him re-signing with the Rough Riders. So we're going to get to that. Vernon Adams suspended one game by the CFL for taking off Adam Big Hill's helmet and beating him with it. No surprise there.
No.
One game suspension for VA. But here's the thing. I'm at the gym this morning, pounding away on the elliptical, and I'm watching Sportsnet 360 because it's a nice little 30-minute highlight package, right?
Yeah.
And if I had more time, I'd stay for 60 minutes, but I only got 30. Sportsnet doesn't even mention the Vernon Adams suspension. Not even a line. So if you want to know why the CFL is losing some popularity, I feel, in this country, particularly the major markets, it's because the networks, TSN's the only one covering them. And if you think that's not part of the problem, you got your head in the sand.
No, I agree with that. It's a big problem.
Paul, who was here in Paul's chair, he's now gone downstairs to take care of business. I don't know what it is. Everything all right?
I think so.
Okay. He comes back here. He was doing some events this weekend. And the word that he got from everybody is more hockey, more hockey, more hockey. People want more hockey in this show. That's fine.
Yeah.
What do you want? We are... interactive. We are viewer topic generated. So if you want us to talk hockey, let us know on the Facebook wall. Let us know on the Prairie Mobile text line, Twitter, which reminds me on our Twitter poll, which I just put up during our morning meeting. If you thought I wasn't paying attention to you guys, it's because I was tweeting. All right.
That makes sense.
The Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center poll question is who finishes higher this NHL season in alphabetical order? Canucks, Flames, Jets, Oilers. And I wasn't going to put Vancouver in because they're like the 27th city for viewing of the Rod Peterson Show. It was Clark's idea to put the Canucks in, and that's fine because we're a Western Canadian show. But I really do. How many times have I said we're in the Bermuda Triangle of the NHL? We're right smack dab in the middle of Winnipeg, Edmonton, and Calgary. But I'm down with putting the Canucks in too. Who do you think's leading the poll?
Probably the Oilers.
Yeah, ding, 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 ding. You nailed it.
Well, you promote the Oilers. They're your team, and these are your
as I wear a Coyotes jacket.
These are your people, right? So of course they're gonna go there. You know what? I don't really know the answer to that question. I mean, Winnipeg's a really good team, but they've got a lot of stuff to sort out between now and, you know, the start of the season, which is right around the corner in October. Calgary was good last year. They should be the front runner on that poll because of where they were last year, and they grew. But also our buddy, who's our buddy in Vancouver?
We've got several. Devon Claybrooks?
Sportsnet Radio.
Andrew Walker.
Andrew Walker. Yeah, I'm sorry, Walks.
The pride
of
Bo Beers.
With the great hair, I should know, right? Yeah. but he's got me on the Vancouver train
Stop
a little bit.
It.
He does.
Oilers, 31%. Flames, 30%. Jets, 28%. Canucks 11%, and incidentally, I just put the poll up 16 minutes ago. So this will change as the day goes along.
Yep.
I gotta stop. People are asking why the Leafs aren't on it. Clark tells me they're writing and saying that because it's for Western Canada. We say this is a Western Canadian show. It's for Western Canadians. We talk about things that people out here care about, not European soccer, not all this crap that I see on TSN. I'm sorry. And Sportsnet and all their 18 million channels. We talk about the teams and the leagues that matter to us out here. Fair?
Fair.
I'm getting off topic. Somebody just went nuts on here and said, oh, how did I not hear about the Fajardo re-signing? You didn't. Hold on to your panties. That's coming up. I'm getting through all the topics here. Oh, headline this morning in the Phoenix paper. Addition of Kessel has Coyotes eyeing playoffs. Right. The guy that, if he'd stayed in Pittsburgh, if Jenny Malkin was going to quit.
Yeah.
And this guy's going to lead the Coyotes to the playoffs for the first time since 2011. Keep dreaming. Medicine Hat News this morning. A guy by the name of Graham Kelly. You've heard of him if you don't know him. He wrote a couple Ryder books, and he's the CFL columnist there. He's referred to the Edmonton Eskimos as the Edmonton Inuits.
Okay.
To be politically correct. Wow. How do you feel about that?
I don't know that I'm ready to get into this morning.
You have no idea what's coming.
I haven't had enough coffee. You know what? I appreciate it, but I hate it at the same time. Because
he was saying it tongue in cheek.
I know.
Less than 24 hours after watching the Redskins on Monday Night Football.
I know. Here's the thing. We all think that we can, well, this is going to be crazy because we can affect change if we act the right way and we start doing things, but we act like these things affect us on a day-to-day basis. Newsflash. Who the prime minister is when the election comes, who gets chosen, is not going to affect me.
You don't think so?
Who the president is of the United States doesn't affect me. Do I like Donald Trump? No, I don't like what he does. Do I like certain things in politics? No, I'm not a political guy.
It actually does affect you, but we're not going
to
get into that.
In a long-term way, right? But it doesn't affect my ability to make it. And it doesn't affect my ability. It just changes the rules. It might make things a little more difficult. It might make me have to work with a new set of rules or a different set of, you know, positives and negatives, but it doesn't affect or hamper my ability to make it or have success or be happy.
You'd be surprised.
It doesn't. I don't let it.
Okay.
Right? So it's the same thing about that. It's just
don't
like,
participate.
I don't pay attention or worry about that stuff because it's not going to affect me at the end of the day.
A fight has broken out in the Facebook comments. People are saying more football. If I want to watch hockey, I'll watch TSN. How about we go back to whatever we talk about, whatever the hell we want to talk about? How about that? Which is what we'll do.
Oh, yeah. Can I answer the Facebook question? Sorry, just on my
mind.
Ian, because I know we got you here. He asked about Adam Brooks last
night. And he's a sponsor. This is Ian from Moose Jaw from Sask Snow Beef.
Now, maybe that's a lesson. If you sponsor the show, we'll always read your
comments. Always take your questions, yes.
But he asked about Adam Brooks last night, and we were sitting at the Athletes in Action dinner, and actually I was going to bring up my phone and show you, because in one of the intermissions, I was opening up and I was surfing Instagram, and there was the Leafs game, and they do a great job on Instagram where they show all the goals. And sure enough, there's Adam Brooks right at the front of the net, deflects it right on goal. It was a rebound, and they scored, and so he got an assist, and,
nice.
He looked pretty good. I was reading some stuff online that Adam Brooks is looking right in place, and they have him as one of the young prospects that could fill in as the fourth line center for the team, so it's exciting.
No Matthews, no Marner, no Tavares, no Nylander, no problem.
I guess not.
3-0 win over Taylor Shire's Montreal Canadiens. I was hoping to chat a little Oilers with Taylor. Then I find out that he's a Canadiens fan. I thought he was cooler than that. But that's okay. He can bring the Habs view. You bring the Leafs view and Clark. And I've got everybody else out here in the West.
Sounds good.
Do we put too much stock in NHL preseason results? Elias Pettersson last night, 4 points in Vancouver, 6-4 win over Ottawa. Here's what I think. The results of the game don't matter. The individual performances do.
Yeah, they do. You know, you got to get the guys rolling, and clearly he's ready to go. And, you know, I talk about it in junior hockey, the value of a summer. I think that's something that sticks with me, because you look at a kid who's supposed to be a high prospect, and at 16, he doesn't put up 50 points. You're like, oh, he's a bust. It's 17 years old. But the growth from 16 to 17 and 17 to 18, 18 is insane. I think of Moose Jaw. Jaden Hallbergowatz is my example. He had 18 or 15 goals, but ended up having a good playoff series as an 18-year-old, comes back at 19 and scores 50. And then does it again at 20. Like, the value of a summer is insane. Same thing in the NHL, but it's the same where guys who play really well sometimes drop off. It only takes one summer, and they drop off, and they're not the same player. So knowing that Pettersson is coming back and playing well, that's really positive for Canucks fans.
Another question from a light just went out. But we know how to fix it. Another question from a viewer from Mark Atherton, and I believe he's in Winnipeg. He says, what I need reminding is the tiebreaker rules for CFL standings when the Riders win this weekend and create a logjam for first. Look, we'll burn that bridge when we come to it. Let's not waste time on the tiebreaker formula for what's going to happen in November. Let's just enjoy today and this week's games. And now we're all half lit here this morning. Our listeners online, of which we've realized there are over 10 times as many people listening than watching live, which I think is pretty cool. But we always need to be mindful of that. Last night, Athletes in Action dinner fundraising event at Mosaic Stadium, AGT Lounge. Do we have the photos ready, Clark?
Yeah.
We do. So the half-lit Darren Dupont over here, you will take us through this photo album from last night.
Well, let's start. I think
it's not too bad. This looks very relaxed.
Yeah, it's probably good. There's Jared Lacoste.
Riders chaplain, team chaplain.
You know what? And yeah, he works with the team, works with the players. He's there for support. He's got an open door. And not just guiding them through faith, but guiding them through the challenges that they deal with as professional athletes and the pressures and their families usually being away and things like that. So this is a fundraising event because he doesn't have a salary. He has to raise his own money, these different things. And he's not hired by the Riders. Even though he works in the building and works with the team, he's hired by, or it's Athletes in Action. So that's Jared. He put it on. What else do we got? There's Tyson Lisk and Cody Fajardo. So Cody Fajardo came on stage and was asked some questions. Same with Craig Dickinson. And, you know, Clark listened to your podcast, the recovery podcast this morning of you and Cody. I haven't listened to it yet. I watched it as you guys did that last night. But he's Tim Tebow. He really is.
Yeah.
You know, and that's one of his inspirations. But it's a cool story. I urge listeners to listen. So,
yep.
Yeah, keep rolling those photos on your own, Clark. Yeah, there's Craig. He went up and he talked about leadership and, you know, building a great community. And
he wants to be remembered as being a good person.
Yeah. And this is cool. You tell me about that.
I look exactly like my dad there. That's what I got out of that.
I was the catch-up.
I'm talking to my friends Guy Schultz and Max, and Coach Dickinson came up. I feel bad because he stuck his hand out and I should have stood up, but I didn't want to eschew the people that I was sitting with. So I talked to Dickie for a while, and we did get caught up, and it was a great chat. And I said, wow, you look very fresh and rested. And he goes, well, that's funny, because I'm not. And he laughed. He's like, I'm not rested. Of course, he's a head coach. And that's with Cody out on the balcony shortly after our interview for the podcast. So, yeah.
How was the time, one-on-one time, you and Cody?
Oh, so, yeah, in the time we have left here in the warm-up, because I had said yesterday that I thought the chances of him extending with the Riders are 50-50. And maybe they are only 50-50. I don't know. But you were there last night, too. He talked about how much he loves it here, loves the fans. Actually, you really gravitated to his comment that in BC and Toronto, he didn't even feel like a pro athlete.
Yeah.
He said his high school games in California had more fans than pro games in Canada. But here, it's something. Tells me how badly he wants to be there. Now, Jeremy O'Day was in the crowd last night, too. Jeremy is a good guy. He's a good person. He's not out to screw anybody over. He still has to do what's best for the Rough Riders, but he's going to present a deal to Cody that's fair. And if Cody deems it fair, there'll be a negotiation here. That's probably what's going on right now. Why would we not expect Cody Fajardo to be back with the Rough Riders in 2020 and beyond? Because there seems to be a real affinity for each other with the team and with him and with the province and the fans. Somebody said last night, maybe it was you, they've been waiting for this guy here for years.
Yeah, they really have. And he seems to be enjoying it, enjoying the moment. He talks about the local church that he visits and how it's funny sitting there when they're praying for the Riders. And those are all things that maybe he didn't get in other communities, you know, in the CFL. It's just a big deal, and the support and just the sheer, you know, level of fandom. It's insane. That's cool. And, you know, with Craig's comments when he was up there and then seeing O'Day there, it just makes me feel like this team is in the right hands.
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got the two guys. And Naaman Roosevelt was there. Was Derek Moncrief there? Who else? There's a few other guys that were there of the Riders. But
you said Naaman?
Yeah. Naaman, yeah. And it shows me that you've got the right guys. Here, guys, Jarrett's not an employee of the team. He's not, you know, even technically a member of the Riders. But you got these guys who come out and support their guys and support the community and support the message, the people who support them. And that's what you want, right? You want guys who have your back and we'll support you and do those things. And so good on Craig, good on Jeremy to be there and to do that. And those are the guys you want leading the team.
So I would say the odds are better than 50-50, substantially better than 50-50 that he'll be back.
I think so.
Yeah, but I don't expect it to. That's a topic for another time. I don't even know when it would be announced. You want to do it now? You want to do it after the season? Whatever. Just keep playing ball. We've barely scratched the topic. The surface and all the topics that I want to get to today. Are you sticking around or you're leaving or what's going on?
I stick around for one more.
Okay. Darren Dreger coming up here in hour one. Clark has asked me to ask you, the viewers on Facebook Live, if you can click like down at the bottom of the screen and share would be real nice too. And while we're at it, subscribe to our YouTube page where all the best segments from each show daily are posted. Clark does all that. And he does a sensational job. So this is the warm-up. It's a busy day. We'll be back right after this timeout. You're watching on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
Just because you're out in the country, surrounded by fields of green, living sky sunrises and sunsets, shouldn't limit you from connecting to the world. Fast, reliable, and affordable internet for rural Saskatchewan. SaskTel Fusion from Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Invite the whole world in. Sign up for SaskTel Fusion today for just $99.99, including basic install. Prairie Mobile, your SaskTel authorized dealer. Lives fully connected.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
Locally owned and family operated, Emerald Water, refreshing the Rod Peterson Show. From reverse osmosis to natural alkaline and distilled water, they are perfect for your home and office. Saskatchewan's number one source for commercial alkaline with natural electrolytes and minerals that are better for your body. Naturally occurring magnesium, calcium, bicarbonate, and potassium are amazing for your health. Trust 30 years of experience and drink water that matters from Emerald Water.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
Saskatchewan Snow Beef is the highest quality beef you will find, bred, born, and raised in Saskatchewan. The deep, rich taste and tender texture is the product of great genes and a specialized extra-aged feeding program. Saskatchewan Snow Beef is available at Crave Kitchen and Wine Bar on Victoria Avenue in Regina, Little Red's Market Cafe in Mortlock, Saskatchewan, or take some home to your own grill by purchasing it at Local and Fresh, 1377 Hamilton Street in Regina. For more information, follow them on Facebook or Instagram at Sask Snow Beef.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio.
Oh my gosh.
Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back, everybody.
Wow.
Yeah, I know. Rod Peterson Show on a Tuesday morning, episode number 80. May I, my two number 80s, Donald Narcisse and Chris Carter. There are many more, of course, but those are my two favorite. Duran's dad.
We are getting into the territory right now.
The greats.
Where we could do the whole show on numbers in the 80s, right?
Yeah. Donald Narcisse, Chris Carter. For me, any stick out to you
Narcos
guys you want to think about
it? Yeah, number one. But
Narcos for sure.
He's my number one favorite all-time American rider. Jeff Fairholm, all-time number one, non-import, and I've made the distinction to both. Tuesday morning sports update for Ballers Rec Room. Three games in the SJHL showcase yesterday. Humboldt blanked Estevan 4-3 in overtime. They say it was a real humdinger. Nipawin shut out Notre Dame 3-0, and Flin Flon won 7-2 against Weyburn. There are four more games scheduled today. Montreal Alouettes quarterback Vernon Adams has been suspended for one game after ripping the helmet off of Adam Bighill and swinging it at his face. And Monday Night Football last night saw the Chicago Bears defeat the Washington Redskins 31-15. That is the morning sports brought to you by Ballers Rec Room, Regina's newest entertainment destination, and compiled by Connor the Intern. Darren Dreger of TSN coming up today, as well as Rider alum Chris Best to talk about their event coming up this fall. But we welcome into the bunker, well, Darren DuPont. We fixed the light in the break, so congrats to Jordan and Clark for doing that. Taylor Shire of Global Regina. How are you, Taylor?
I'm doing great.
Yeah, long time no see.
Yeah, it's been a while.
What's up in your life since the last time we saw you?
Things are good. Had a few days off last week. The riders are on a bye, so heading back to practice this morning or this afternoon at 12. It'll be interesting.
Yeah, why?
A lot of changes over the bye week.
Okay.
Well.
Go on.
Well, Jordan Williams-Lambert, where is he going to slot in? He has to start this week, I would assume. They gave him 2 weeks ago off against Montreal. So he's going to start. Who's he going to replace? Brendan Labatt very well could be starting on the offensive line this week. He's been looking decent at practice, so he could get his first full practice this week. Who does he replace? Philip Blake. It's been 10 weeks since he broke his leg. He's another guard. Who does he replace? Do Bladick and Shepley come out and put the two older guys back in? It'll be a lot of moving parts today at practice, and a lot to keep.
Corey Watson's back in too, right?
Yeah, Corey Watson very well could replace, well, Mitch Picton, Justin McInnes, that Canadian spot. So a lot of moving parts today.
It is, but, well, a couple things have jogged my mind here. When you say couple days off for you last week because the team was off. One thing Craig Dickinson did say to me last night, and I guess he had said it in the media, but I missed it, that three bye weeks are too many. He says it makes the season too long. He said, not hockey long, but still too long for what we're used to. And I would agree. What are the players saying about it? What do you think?
Well, they had stretches of four games in a row, right? So it was a bye week and then four games and a bye week and four games and then a bye week. So a lot of the players on this last bye week stuck around. Cody Fajardo stuck around. Craig Dickinson went fishing at Last Mountain Lake with his parents, he said. So Ed Gainey stuck around. A few of the guys we talked to post-game were sticking around because they said, oh, we just had a bye week. I don't feel the need to go home. And I probably can't afford to go home maybe an extra time because I just did a month ago. So I think there was a lot of team bonding over the last week. They did an escape room, some of the guys. They did some work on the field unofficially, I guess. They were doing some throwing. Cody said he wanted to throw with Jordan Williams-Lambert a little bit and get on the same page. So I think as from a player's perspective, talking with some of the guys, they appreciate an extra week of rest even though the season is longer.
But they don't get paid either, though.
But they appreciate to rest some bumps and bruises heading into this final stretch.
That's interesting. You know, we talk about Jordan Williams-Lambert and the expectations that should be on him and coming back from, you know, the NFL camps and things like that. He didn't play with Cody Fajardo, right? And that's a big deal. Like, the quarterback you're playing with, because he reads things differently. He throws the ball differently. He plays the game differently. And so just to expect Jordan Williams-Lambert to come out and have the same year he did last year with a completely different quarterback, I think that's going to take some time and be an adjustment.
Invite you, Taylor, to throw your headphones in. We're going to pause the CFL discussion to head to Toronto via video chat. TSN's Darren Dreger joining us on the program, the pride of Churchbridge, Saskatchewan. He's back for another view, another visit. How you doing, Dregs?
I'm doing well, but I got to correct you, Rod, on two fronts. One, I'm not from Churchbridge. I'm from Langenberg.
Sorry. Oh, difference. Boy.
That's the rival town, too. You can't be messing that up.
Uh-oh.
Yeah, it's about 6 miles apart. And I'm actually in a limo with my good friend and colleague, Bob McKenzie.
Hey. Hi, Bob.
And we're on our way to Stamford, Connecticut. It has an NHL seminar today. So we're making our way there.
Well, I appreciate the time, and that's like the difference between Milestone and Lang, so I get it. I certainly apologize for that, Dregs. Now, look, there's a lot of things we want to get to today with you. I got some Oilers chat. These guys got some questions on the Leafs, but producer Clark said you kind of wanted to start with the Winnipeg Jets. Are we going to see Patrick Laine here at the Heritage Classic in Regina, do you think? Jets Flames on October 26th.
Well, you know, I'm not going to be light here and suggest that there's a chance we don't or will. I mean, the truth is it's still very much up in the air. Now, Patrick Laine, I believe, you know, wants to get back into the National Hockey League as quickly as possible. And clearly Winnipeg, given everything they've gone through, want him back. But it doesn't sound like that negotiation is getting much closer, even though the regular season is creeping up now less than a week away. So it's hard to envision the Winnipeg Jets starting without Patrick Laine or Kyle Connor for that matter. But as we talked about last night on Insider Trading, I mean, both those negotiations are still very much at a difficult phase, a difficult stage. So even though October 26th seems like a long way away, when you look at the potential of both those guys in Winnipeg not starting the regular season, maybe October 26th isn't a stretch that they wouldn't be available to the Winnipeg Jets, but let's hold our breath or not and hope that something happens.
Absolutely. What's the biggest stumbling block when it comes to Patrick Laine in the contract?
Well, automatically it always comes down to term and then obviously the money, the annual average. And, you know, the fact that there's been to have signed, most recent, of course, is Braden. I'd be surprised if Laine doesn't or isn't interested in a three-year bridge, but he may want something longer. Sometimes players in the National Hockey, even 22-year-olds, they like the idea of locking security, especially when the financial security comes with that. Winnipeg, and that's what makes this negotiation so difficult because they don't have the cap space, even though they've got the situation hanging basically
Oh, we may have lost the connection here on Darren Dreger. So, yeah, go ahead, Dregs.
Yeah, so sorry, guys. Obviously, we're out of New York and into Connecticut now, so the connection is a little sketchy at best. But you know, it's difficult to pinpoint one thing because both sides of every negotiation, you know, they've got a line, And in Winnipeg, it's more difficult because of the money that they've had to spend elsewhere and the fact that they've got two of these guys that are restricted free agents.
The Facebook wall's going nuts with viewers wanting to know about a trade, wanting to know about Tkachuk in Calgary. But I want to talk about guys that are playing rather than aren't. And I bet you do, too. And sort of on that vein of Connor McDavid, if things don't go the way the Oilers plan this year, Darren, is he the kind of guy that you think might ask for a trade? Producer Clark saying there's rumor that he already might have. Is he the kind of kid that would do that?
Well, number one, I don't believe for a second that McDavid has asked for a trade. I think that's just media hype and speculation. And normally that occurs when times are slow in the offseason and some of us don't have enough going on. I believe that McDavid, as captain of the Oilers, is very much committed. I know he's excited about playing and being healthy again. It sounds like he's going to skate and play tonight. So that's a huge boost in favor of the Oilers to get him in at least one, maybe two preseason games before the regular season. But I think that, you know, there is a statute of limitation here. If Ken Holland isn't able to turn the Edmonton Oilers around, I would say relatively quickly. I'm not saying this year. I think it's going to be a challenge for the Oilers, you know, to vie for a playoff spot in the Western Conference. But I do think they're going to be competitive. As long as they show signs of growth and McDavid has a healthy and very good year, then that might be enough. If we're having this conversation same time next year, or even worst case, the year after that, then I think that, you know, every player would perhaps reach his limit. But I don't think that McDavid is there yet. And I still think that he believes in both the direction of the Edmonton Oilers and the fact that he's part of the solution there, not the problem. So I think we're a ways away from Connor McDavid actually wanting out of Edmonton.
Question from the video wall from our viewers. Which team has around the league has quietly had the best off season as we approach the start of the new season, October 2nd? Who would you say has won the off season?
Well, the New Jersey Devils have done, and the war isn't over. And, you know, obviously it starts with getting the first pick overall and drafting Jack Hughes, who looks like he's going to be a very good player. But it was that 1-2 going into the draft, wasn't it? It was either Jack Hughes, you know, going Jersey Devils or Kaapo Kakko. And as it turned out, both the New York Rangers and the Devils got very fortunate getting two world-class prospect players. But, you know, Ray Sherrill did a lot of work around the New Jersey Devils outside of the draft, you know, acquiring P.K. Subban. I think we're all intrigued to see how things go down there. Marcus Johansson, go down the list of the work that the New Jersey Devils have done. So I think that, you know, I'm at least intrigued to see how, you know, much of a boost that's going to give the New Jersey Devils. And then things get complicated around that Eastern Conference after that. So, you know, there are other teams that made improvements. You know, the Florida Panthers would like to think that bringing Bobrovsky in was a big step in the right direction in shoring up their goaltending. And you look around the National Hockey League and you look at the trade that the Colorado Avalanche.
Oh, come back to us, Clark. Yeah, I think that's it. Well, we'll have to thank Darren Dreger and let him go. Can you please do that for us, Clark, and thank Dregs for coming on? The top two insiders in hockey together in one vehicle on the way to Stamford, Connecticut. Wouldn't you love to just have a GoPro in there strapped to the rearview mirror?
That would be amazing. I'm wondering who's controlling the music in the car.
I think they got a driver. But I'll say again, thanks to Dregs for coming in. We don't have any problem at all with that video connection until it's somebody in the U.S. on cell phone.
Yeah.
Right? Within this country, it's smooth like they're next door. So, but we got a lot out of that, and I can see the clip right now that Clark will post to social, I'm sure, about, for me, Connor McDavid and the Edmonton Oilers, because everybody's talking about that. And I know you guys aren't as interested as the people that are Oiler fans, but what did Darren Dreger say? This guy is committed to the Oilers and doesn't believe any rumors that he's asked for a trade, nor will he, and I don't think that he will. I've never met Connor McDavid, never even been around him. But to me, he just doesn't seem like that kind of petulant child that would ask for a deal if things weren't going his way, Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, you know what? That's got to be a breath of fresh air for you and the Oilers fans, because isn't that...
Everything rests on him.
But isn't that in the back of your mind a little bit? Like, man, this is so bad. Of course he's going to want out. Why would he want to stay here and continue to go through this, right? So that's got to be... to hear from the insiders that, no, I don't think there's any chance that he's going to ask for a trade. That has to feel good that your guy's going to stick around.
I think he thinks he can be part of the solution. And from listening to him, he thinks that, okay, we just need to get better in this phase, in this phase, in this phase. And that's the movement's not up to him, but he can be part of the solution on the ice, in the locker room and all that. And I don't think he's the type of guy to ask for a trade. And even if he did, I don't think we'd hear about it. I think it would happen pretty swiftly. They would just have to find the right partner.
And I just can't see it happening. No. I don't, and I appreciate Darren Dreger's takeaway on that. And the other, I don't know what made me think about this the other day. Well, for one, I opened the NHL.com daily news thing that I get, and it says that Connor McDavid's not even going to play in the preseason. Then Dreger says he's playing tonight. They got Arizona. Fake news? I mean, you never really know what to believe anymore. And that's the great thing about having insiders like Darren Dreger come on here and Arash Manani and so forth. But the other thing is New Jersey. He's right about that. I was watching the highlights of one of their preseason games the other night. Nico Hischier, of course. PK Subban, Taylor Hall. That's a star-studded lineup.
They're ready to roll. Yeah, absolutely. They're fast.
And what changed? Lou Lamoriello.
High skill set.
Yep.
Right? And they're a team that can contend for sure. In today's NHL, they're built really well.
Just before we break, from Sean, watching from Saskatoon this morning, he says, it's really cool that you get guys and analysts from all over, like Sportsnet and TSN, like Arash Madani and Darren Dreger. So we will pause and get back to the football discussion. Whatever you all would like us to discuss, that's what we do here. The Prairie Mobile text line is open, 840-8777. Put a 306 in front of that. 840-8777. I want Taylor's thoughts on the meltdown in Montreal, the Montreal meltdown by Winnipeg, and can and will they recover? And don't forget our daily poll question. Who finishes higher, the Oilers, Flames, Jets, or Canucks? I didn't want to put Canucks into the poll because I just wanted the Prairie teams, but I get why we did. It's a Western Canadian poll. Vote now. Last we saw, leading by a smidge, the Edmonton Oilers. We'll be right back. You are watching The Rod Peterson Show on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at Apple Podcasts, Google Play Music, and iHeartRadio.
Time is running out on the employee pricing of our 500 new vehicles in stock. Get up to 19 grand off new F-150s. The employee price on this Super Crew 4x4 is just $34,999 plus tax. Employee pricing on all new Ford Escapes means up to $7,500 off. And we have over 100 in stock. Plus, get up to 16 grand in savings on a brand new Super Duty. We have over 60 in stock. The countdown is on. Employee pricing at Capital Ford Lincoln. Offers end September 30th.
Houston, we have a problem. Join Rod and the gang in Houston this December. Rod Peterson's VIP sports experience with Uniglobe Travel. Enjoy 5 nights in beautiful Houston, Texas with the Rod Peterson Show. See the Houston Texans and the Denver Broncos on NFL Sunday. Plus, the Houston Rockets and exciting NBA action and so much more. Visit rodpeterson.com for more information and to sign up now.
Nestled in the scenic Qu'Appelle Valley, just 20 minutes northwest of Regina, is one of the finest golf courses in all of Saskatchewan, the Deer Valley Golf Club. The clubhouse has a full-service restaurant, and customers can enjoy a casual dining experience with spectacular views of the golf course and valley. A fully stocked golf shop, staffed by PGA of Canada professionals, is equipped to meet all of your golf apparel and equipment needs. Book your tee time, family event, or corporate tournament today at the Deer Valley Golf Club. Call 306-731-1445 or log on to deervalleygolf.ca.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Send us your opinions now. We won't victimize you unless you really deserve it. Now, back to your host, Rod Peterson.
Welcome back to the program, everybody, on this Tuesday morning, September the 24th. Holy smokes, it's been high-flying action. today so far. Show number 80, Donald Narcisse, Chris Carter, other legendary number 80s, Jerry Rice, of course, Nick Antropov, Jeff Sanderson of Hartford Whalers fame, and Kevin Weeks, who I believe is also of Hartford Whalers fame. Moving down our list of things, Darren DuPont has adjourned. We are still joined in the bunker by Global Regina's Taylor Shire. And I do want to get something straight here. The pride of Rokenville, Saskatchewan is Taylor. And I need to spend more time in the Rokenville-Langenberg Church Bridge area. Mm-hmm. Clearly.
Yes.
If I screw up and say Darren Dreger is from Church Bridge and he needs to correct me and say Langenberg. Darren Dreger with us last segment got broken up because of cell coverage crossing the New York state line into Connecticut. But we still got a lot of info out of Dregs and it was great. But I thought, who sings Cheap Wine and Cigarettes?
Jess Moskaluk.
Jess Moskaluk.
She's from Langenberg as well.
She's from Langenberg.
They're both from
there. Kelly Buckberger's from Langenberg. Yes. What are they doing right in Langenberg?
I don't know. Something in the water.
And Kevin Kaminsky's from Churchbridge.
That's right.
So October the 10th, I'll be in Churchbridge. When I say I got to spend more time there, Kevin Killer Kaminsky has invited me to his hometown. The LaRonge Ice Wolves are there playing an SJHL neutral site game, and we're going to do a book signing for Heart and Soul of the SJHL, the book that I wrote. So I will get out there, but where does Rokenville fit into the whole scheme? How far? Are you not in that area?
Yeah, it's Rokenville's 25 minutes south of Langenberg. Bredenbury, Churchbridge, Salt Coats, Langenberg is all on like Highway 16. And then Rokenville, Mooseman, it's a bit more south down.
Okay.
The
well, you guys are doing something right over there on the east side of the province. So
yeah,
kudos.
Yeah. It's God's country out there.
It is God's country. All of this is God's country. Everywhere is God's country. So many things going on. On our daily poll, people are saying J.R. Rowley's watching in Cranbrook, B.C. this morning. He says, Rod, how can you say that about the Canucks? All I'm saying is this is a show for the prairies mostly. Mm-hmm. And if you want to peer in from outside the prairies, we're more than okay with that. A lot of people are. Our business manager, Tyler Gross, was up here. Had you met Tyler before?
Yep.
He says we've cracked a million viewers. They're producing a meme downstairs or some announcement that we've cracked a million viewers. So that's really big in 80 shows. But Jets, Oilers, Flames, that's kind of, we're in the Bermuda Triangle of that. That's all I'm saying. I don't have anything against the Vancouver Canucks, but as Ed Willis, the legendary sports writer of the Vancouver province, has often said, who's from here? He said, the Rocky Mountains serve as like a vortex, and everything west of it, they're like they're on their own out there on the West Coast. And they are.
Yep.
You remember when the Canucks went to the Stanley Cup Final in 2011? And the Canucks, like they tweeted out something along the lines of, we don't want the rest of Canada to cheer for us. You never did before, so don't cheer for us now. That is such a Vancouver thing.
Yeah.
You didn't see the Flames doing that in 04. Yeah. Well, the Oilers in 06. Who else? The Senators in 07. Yeah. It's like, come on aboard, everybody.
The Raptors this last year.
Raptors, we the North. Yeah. What a stupid thing to do. So I'm not anti-Canucks, but I'm not pro-Canucks either. Now, moving on to actual topics of the day. Well, Nelson watching this morning with a couple of things. He says that Pinball has joined the Argos as an advisor to the team. Is that enough to get this team in a winning mindset? That's A. And B, Nelson goes on to say that CFL Director of Officiating Darren Hackwood says that Vernon Adams should have been ejected from the game against the Bombers. So there's two topics to discuss, and thank you, Nelson, for chiming in today from Phoenix Group on that. First, on Pinball joining the Argos as an advisor, he should have never really left, in my opinion. And specifically, what is he advising? I don't know necessarily that he's advising on the football side. Who knows? The fact that he's joining as an advisor could mean a lot of things. Could mean they're just putting his face on posters in downtown Toronto, which I would do, and billboards. But I can't. Well, as a matter of fact, I know. Corey Chamberlain has never been that big on the alumni, nor is Chris Jones, really. And I can't see Corey Chamberlain opening the doors at BMO Field to Pinball. Come on in and address the team, Pinner. Not going to happen. No. It's not happening.
No, it's Corey's team. But
yeah,
an advisor to me sounds like it's not hands-on. He's in the background, whether it's the business side or the football side. He's not going to have an effect on the team until he's in charge in a role that can see him put his – fingerprint on the team.
Well, for sure. And you still see pinball at most Argos games in a luxury suite somewhere. I mean, I've never lived one day in Toronto, so I don't know what the cure for what ails the Argos is. And I'm not going to sit here and say that I know that I do, because I don't. I wouldn't have involved pinball all along. They didn't. That's their call. But a lot of people wonder, where did pinball go? Well, I can tell you where he went. He's working in the field that I work somewhat in, and that is occupational health and safety. It's one of the fastest growing industries in North America. That's what pinball's been doing for the last couple of years. And guess what? He's been doing just great. The Argos need pinball more than pinball needs the Argos. Mm-hmm. And I also think you got Chad Owens sitting there in Toronto really doing nothing, because he came on this show and said that. Why are you not pimping out Chad Owens at every appearance? People love the guy. He's one of the most popular CFLers of all time. Mm-hmm. I'd be bringing Chad Owens in too. And, but as far as advising Jim Popp and Corey Chamblin, no.
Yeah.
Not going to happen. Yeah. And then where I really, because you're an official. People don't know this about Taylor, or not enough people know this, that you are an ordained hockey official.
Hockey official.
But you know what? Rules are rules.
Yep.
And it doesn't matter the sport. So when Vernon Adams took off Adam Big Hill's helmet the other day and clubbed him with it, yeah, I was aghast. I thought he should be kicked out. The officials on the field didn't feel that he should have at the time. This is where command centers really are a fallacy, and it's not just a CFL thing. It's in the NFL and NHL, too. What are you there for if you're not going to make the right call at the time? And for the director of officiating to come out now and say, oh, he should have been kicked out. Thanks, Tips. Thanks, Captain Obvious. Yeah. But that's integrity. The CFL is being run on integrity by Randy Ambrosi, and Darren Hackwood's his guy. Darren's Randy's guy. Randy put him in that job. So to come out, I know why they said it. It's to be transparent and say we goofed, which actually is a really big thing to do.
And they acted swiftly on it too, handing the suspension just a couple days after, the one game suspension. But they got the call wrong, yet they still were able to review it. They looked at some of the video in the moment. They gave him a penalty for ripping off his helmet, but they didn't issue the ejection then because, according to Darren, I'm talking this morning, they didn't have the right angles on the video in the command center.
What?
So, and there's, what, two officials looking probably right at it? One guy's looking at the play and the ball, and the other guy's going to look at the scrum. So,
well, as
it's
a
all angles, right? It's all angles. It's
as
all
a referee,
see, you can't make it up.
You speak to it better than I can. What's your take on the fact that it was missed at the time, and now?
Well, they obviously didn't see it, or else he would have been ejected. So it's all angles. You can't make up what you don't see. You can't guess. You can't be like, ah, you know what? It looks like it, if it quacks like a duck and whatever that saying is. You can't, just because it's right in front of you doesn't mean you're watching it. You should. That's your job. You get paid to do it. But sometimes you're looking at something else, or something else comes up, or you don't have the angle. Maybe he was, I didn't see the picture or the video, but or look at it that closely. Maybe he was behind a player, and he's coming down, and then the helmet comes over. But they clearly saw him rip it off, and then obviously missed him clubbing him with it.
Command center.
Yeah, well, it's all the angle, right?
Right, you talked about the two refs at the time on the field. They're watching it one time, full speed.
Yes.
I give them a pass all the time.
Yeah.
Right? I really do. And they're still right 97% of the time.
Yeah.
The command center is what has egg at their face. This is not, should not slip through the command center. If I see the video on Twitter, because some fan videoed it off their TV screen.
You only saw the video and you couldn't see the helmet striking the chin. You could see the motion, but you couldn't see him hitting him, right?
Yeah.
I saw the one angle. It was low and he came across, but then there was a guy's head in the background. So, but still, it was the act of swinging the helmet that should have caused the ejection.
Well, for
regardless of if he hits him or not.
Well, for the director of officiating to come out today and say he should have been ejected, does that not make everybody look bad?
Yeah.
And so that's a bold statement.
You don't want to lie in that point and say, no, we stand by our officials. You have to be transparent and accountable, just like in senior hockey in Saskatchewan. If I make a bad call, I'm still accountable, and the league and the SHA is going to be transparent with me, just because, I mean, they're going to back me, but they also have to understand you have to make the right call and be honest.
So really, nobody's really at fault as we sit here this morning. Mm-hmm. The CFL saying we goofed, we apologize. And Nelson goes on to say the command center can interject there to make the correct call. They didn't. So that's Darren Hackwood of the CFL, director of officiating, saying we goofed. They goof a lot less than they used to since before Darren Hackwood showed up as the director of officiating. So I think the people that are the most upset here, aside from Adam Big Hill, who really went off on Twitter after the game, is the people of Winnipeg who are thinking that if Vernon Adams had been kicked out of the game, lose the game.
Nope.
Do they have a right to say that, in your opinion?
Yeah, 100%. He had a direct cause of the... He led the Alouettes to the biggest comeback in franchise history. It was an incredible performance. He was named a top performer of the week today. He was also suspended one game today. So that's a bad look in my mind.
That's an only in the CFL moment.
Yeah, but mistakes do happen on the field. It is surprising that the command center had a chance to look at the film in the moment and not eject him. That I don't understand that. I understand the call on the field. If you don't see it, you know, you issue your 15 yards or 25 yards for ripping off the helmet. But the command center had a chance to look at it, slow it down, take a couple extra minutes. I don't see why that ejection didn't happen. Then there would be no suspension. If he gets ejected from that game, that's penalty enough for him.
But that's why I'm sitting here offering you the ability as an official to defend the officials, because in the NFL, everybody wants to paint this as a CFL thing because that's what's going on at the time. But in the NFC Championship game last year, Saints-Rams, exact same thing happened. Cost the Saints a chance to go to the Super Bowl. Like, literally, cost them the game. And same thing.
We made a mistake.
Command center's got the ability here to overturn the call. How do you miss that? How do you miss that? Stanley Cup playoffs. Yeah. How many times did the hand pass in the St. Louis-San Jose game? Wow. Stanley Cup final. Tyler Bozak trips a guy. Play goes on. Bruins score. Or Blues score and go on to win the game. It's the game-winning goal.
In the moment, though, you only see it once. If you put everything in the command center, I'm not against replay. I don't love replays in command centers. I like it for some things, but not all things, because it just slows down the game.
And that's the thing emotion. Is we could never agree on what should be and what shouldn't be.
And so you're never going to be perfect. You're going to have the human element. And I think that's the most exciting part about sports. You don't ever want to be wrong as a ref, but you don't ever want to guess either. Right. If you don't see it, you don't see it. You're not going to be like, it looks like he did this.
That's the guys on the field, Taylor.
Yes.
But the command center is my point.
And that's a whole other thing. It's all angles, though, right? You have to look at the replays, and you can slow it down second by second. And right. I don't see how they, I'm agreeing with you in that I don't see how they get those calls wrong. If they get 15 angles or three angles or how many ever cameras they have out there, I don't see how they get them wrong.
Enjoying the audience participation today. Sean writing in, and he says, that's a sad excuse for Winnipeg fans for the loss. If you need a player suspended to win, then you don't deserve to win. No, that's... No.
Well, no.
No, I'm with Sean. I mean, Winnipeg, you lost a game. Don't look at anybody other than the mirror, period. Don't blame the CFL. Don't blame Vernon Adams. Don't blame anybody. Winnipeg let them off the hook. End of story. Winnipeg is the best team in the CFL, folks. I believe that, Taylor, and you can jump in if you want when they're on their game. They just keep taking their eye off the ball all the time. They spend so much time jumping around and flexing, and Chris Streveler, way back in July, throwing the ball into the crowd after touchdowns and celebrating in a 3-touchdown lead. Act like you've been there before, even though you haven't, Winnipeg. You haven't been there before. Not since 1990 anyways, and that's the part that ticks me off. I believe they're the best team in the CFL.
No,
do you?
No, Calgary is still the best team until they're beaten.
They play as the best team. I don't think they're the most talented team.
No,
there is
no,
a difference.
That's way different. But they don't shoot themselves in the foot and make mistakes and blow 24-point leads. They don't. Winnipeg still
does.
Okay,
no, what I mean is they're the most talented. Winnipeg is the most talented team in the CFL. That's what I mean.
But talent doesn't win games. It's all about systems playing as a team, even if you, just because you have the best player. The Oilers have the best player. They're not the best team. They're the most talented.
They only have the one. Well, that's the problem. And Leon Draisaitl and Mike Smith and goal. Yes, yes, yes. No, no,
so
no.
Talent doesn't win you games.
No, but we're arguing the same thing. Winnipeg has been, I'm not letting them off the hook. They're the most talented team. They've been together a long time. Yeah. That receiving group, that offensive line.
The defense.
They've spent on their defense. They got a great defense. They got a great defense,
not on
man.
Saturday. They do.
Willie Jefferson, they go out and pay to get Willie. Chandler Fenner, Chris Randall's still there, isn't he? Jeff Hecht, Adam Big Hill. They are the most talented team in the CFL, more talented than Calgary. I think you're agreeing with me, but they're not playing together. And we've talked as a team, and we discussed this with Abu yesterday. Everybody's in the last year of their contract in Winnipeg right now. And you know what? I think the pressure's getting to them. That's what I think it is. Mike O'Shea, Kyle Walters, I believe the coordinators are in the last year of their deal. This is it. If they're not winning at all, they're gone. And you know what? Nobody in Winnipeg would have a problem if they were gone either. Because what else is it going to take?
Yeah, I think
if not now, when?
They would be a good third-place team. I don't think they're a good first-place team right now. Because they're expected to win now, and they're expected to maintain that top spot. Calgary has been there before. They've been in first in this stretch run here with the last six games. Calgary knows what it takes to close out a regular season and play well into the playoffs. Winnipeg's like, holy crap, we're in first place. Now we have to keep winning. There's
you are 100% right.
Expectations. And Winnipeg could be a team that would make noise if they were third. Go on the road in the West semifinal, win. Go to the West final, win. Make it to the Grey Cup. But now that they're first and they wait around, maybe if they do clinch first and wait around for the West final, they have that bye week in there. Then a team in the semifinal comes in hot. Winnipeg's expected to win the West final. Expectations get to the locker room.
That's where I see them starting to crack. Yeah. And that's where they need to look at a guy like Mike O'Shea. And I don't know what's going on behind closed doors, but I was reading more of his quotes today from after the Montreal meltdown. And sickening is the one that stuck with me. There was another really good one in there. And it's bothering me because Winnipeg should be better. The pressure's getting to them. And you know what? People like us being hard on them, they should be happy about that rather than get pissed off about it. Yeah. Go out and prove everybody wrong. But they're not. They're cracking under pressure.
Mike O'Shea wasn't... His post-game clip, the sickening one, he wasn't upset about the loss. And he said, we need to be better. We'll learn from it. And that, I mean, a good coach can say that. Yeah, we'll learn from it. And, you know, this is, you know, sometimes adversity helps you in the long run. And so will this game help them? Okay, they probably won't blow another 24-point lead this season based on that result, right?
What do you remember of the 07 Grey Cup run and season for the Riders? Because you're a historian far more than me. I was there, and I can't remember it as well as some other people. It's been a long time ago, but the Riders did suffer some blowouts that year, and they did learn along the way. But I just don't see Winnipeg being the scrappy team that's going to fight you for 60 minutes, because clearly they're not. We've seen that.
I remember they started 6-2, and then it was the Labor Day game, and I think that Labor Day game was the turning point. They knew they were going to win this season. Well, not knew they were going to win, but there was a real belief after that Labor Day game and Kerry Joseph ran in the touchdown that this could be something special. And the Blackout Bowl, or whatever you want to call it, the rain delay, I think that was another special moment. The fans stayed. A lot of the fans stayed. The players went in. I was talking to Neil Hughes the other day about this. He said they were just in the room with flashlights. They didn't really know what was going on. And then they come back out and the fans are there and they're as loud as ever. And there's guys with their shirts off, you know, and people are converging. And I think they were trailing at that point and they came back to win the game.
Mm-hmm.
And talking to Neil Hughes, those two moments were very important. And when they went to the playoffs, they beat Calgary and BC, right?
Yep.
On the road, they beat BC.
Beat Calgary here in BC
they beat,
there.
Well, they beat Calgary. They came back and won, and then they never trailed in that BC game. And I mean, it took an injury to Kevin Glenn to ensure they were going to win that Grey Cup. But
nothing to apologize for.
But nobody's apologizing. Oh, just because there was a backup quarterback, right?
Well, and it's been a good discussion here in hour one. We're anticipating Chris Best will be with us in hour two here in the bunker from the Rider alumni, from the Rider radio team. But between who's the best team in the CFL, I still say it is Winnipeg. If you want to do a power ranking right now, talent-wise, I believe it's Winnipeg. And that's without Matt Nichols playing right now. They got that huge lead on Montreal, and they let him off the hook. Right? In the Dennis Green vernacular.
Dennis Green.
If you want to crown their ass, then crown them. And
the Owls are who we
in
thought
the,
they were.
No. The Bombers the are bombers. Who we thought the they bombers. Were.
Yes.
As of today, and in honor of show number 80, this is perfect for Donald Narcisse. His quote, hard work beats talent when talent doesn't work hard. And Winnipeg hasn't been able to put the 60 minutes together consistently enough. They did in the Banjo Bowl. They've done it in some other games. But you better start figuring out how to do it every week, or the drought's going to continue. Bestie is in the bunker, and he's coming up after the break. It's the Rod Peterson Show, show number 80. And you are watching on Facebook Live. Listen live at rodpeterson.com and catch our podcast at CastBox, Stitcher, and Spotify.
If you've been using an inefficient heating system for indoor or outdoor use, you might be surprised by the quality and comfort that zone-controlled infrared heaters offer. Heating Green's energy-saving infrared heaters transfer sun-like warmth directly to people and objects without noise or maintenance. Increase your comfort and decrease cost, room by room. Our silent infrared heaters are perfect for indoor and outdoor spaces. For greater comfort using less energy, contact us at heatinggreen.com.
Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC pre-owned means clearance prices on every used vehicle in stock. That means special discounted prices on over 200 pre-owned cars, trucks, and SUVs. Right now, we have over 40 Jeeps to choose from. Save thousands on this fully loaded, certified pre-owned 2018 Grand Cherokee Limited 4x4. It's only $36,915 plus tax. And this loaded, certified pre-owned Compass Limited 4x4 has a clearance price of only $26,998 plus tax. Canada-wide clearance at Capital GMC in Regina.
One of the things that I'm also running into lately is people who have been declined for marijuana use in the past.
Brian Baker with youareinsurable.ca.
Insurers will decline you for more than just your health. They'll decline you for your lifestyle. And in the past, any type of marijuana use over 2 grams a week is going to send red flags up to traditional insurers, because for those people who are suffering from chronic pain, other illnesses such as Crohn's colitis or depression for that matter, that have used marijuana as a treatment, they're probably using more than a couple of grams a week. Now we have legalized marijuana in the country, but don't expect the traditional insurers to have made that change to their underwriting policy. But I do have an insurer that will take care of the client.
If you've been declined due to cannabis, you are still insurable. Don't wait. Talk to Brian today. Brian specializes in finding critical illness, life, and disability insurance for hard-to-insure people just like you. Book your no-cost, confidential, risk-free consultation at youareinsurable.ca.
He's covering everything that matters to you. It's the Rod Peterson Show. Tune in live Monday to Friday, 10 a.m. to noon, to catch the show live and be a part of the action. Take control by commenting live and sharing the show with your friends. For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.